dial 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antone, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see a one, but sometimes between the setting and the rising...
interlock and they all have a common goal, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. And these ideas have been around for a long time. In fact, it was in April of 1974 when Richard Gardner, a Rhodes Scholar, member of the CFR, one of the elite, one of the feudal elite who runs the world, wrote an article in Foreign Affairs magazine where he talked about how the only way we were going to be able to bring about this world government was not with a direct onslaught, because the people didn't want a world government. They didn't want to give up their freedom or sovereignty. So we'd have to do an end run around the Constitution. And one of the ways was to use certain things that were the international treaties like GATT, the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, and the law of, and the World Trade Organization, and the Law of the Sea Treaty in 1974. Why? Because if you get all these treaties, why, you do away with the sovereignty of the nation. And the American people don't even know what's happening. And you, Patrick, do you think the average American realizes the significance of the Law of the Sea Treaty?
I'm sure that they do not, Dr. Stan, and that most of them have never heard of it before. Even when it was originally turned down by President Reagan in the early 1980s, I doubt they knew then. These types of globalist agendas they fare very poorly when they're revealed to people in our country, Dr. Stan. And so there's been it has been a hidden thing, exactly, but there's been virtually no publicity to put this before the American people for any kind of a debate or consensus or understanding or whatever. My guess is that if the average American understood what the global elite is trying to do with us through this horrible treaty, they would repudiate it. 98% of our citizens would repudiate this treaty and repudiate the people who are trying to cram it down our throat.
But, of course, the average person doesn't even know that this is actually being considered again in the Senate.
Does not know. And it does. That's exactly right. There's very few people writing about it. There's very few people speaking about it. And, of course, the major press and so on isn't doing anything about it. And I might add also, the alternative media has done a little bit, but only a very few people, perhaps like yourself and our friend John Loeffler and some others, have done some pretty good work on laws to Cliff Kincaid at Accuracy of Media. But there have been virtually no mentions on the outside, on talk radio across the country, by and large. It's just not getting out. Just not getting out.
Well, I think it's so vitally important. Now, well, we certainly want to get into what really this is going to involve. And actually, there's going to be taxation. The one thing that the United Nations needs is money. Right now, they're dependent upon the sovereign states. But when lost becomes the law of the world, why, of course, they're going to have tremendous wealth at their disposal. So important for creating this world fascist society. We'll be right back.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. In this jungle called life, only the tiger survives. So says the armchair survivalist Kurt Wilson, owner of Survival Enterprises. Kurt talks common sense about food storage, health care, firearms and weaponry, security, urban and wilderness survival techniques, and the simple things we can all do to help us and our loved ones survive when bad times hit. Learn to be one step ahead of the crowd in everyday situations. The Armchair Survivalist is geared for the rest of us who don't have unlimited funds to buy land, a cabin, build a bunker, or buy all the expensive survival supplies that would come in handy. He shows you how to work smarter, not harder. For over 25 years, Kurt has been helping people prepare for hard times. The Armchair Survivalist is sure to be an informative, entertaining, and educational talk show, with Kurt not only sharing his vast level of survival knowledge, but taking your calls as well. Listen to the Armchair Survivalist, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Patrick Wood of the August Review, and we're talking about the Law of the Sea Treaty, the implications of this treaty, which will give control of all of the seabeds to the United Nations. But there's tremendous wealth there, and there's also the ability to impose taxation on sovereign nations. So you pick up the story and explain what is in this treaty that is really so dangerous and harmful.
Well, Dr. Stan, the essence of the treaty is to turn control of the world's oceans over to this UN-based organization to not only control the seabed and the minerals and the oil and, you know, whatever resources are down there underneath the water, but also to control the surface of the water as well, in terms of ships passing from one country to another, trade and military vessels on the oceans of the world. They will have the ability to charge fees, like permit fees, for instance, and royalty fees and so on any minerals extracted from the ocean bed. And the thing that's just astounding about this, Dr. Stan, is that 70% of the world is covered by water. And for one sweeping treaty to give control of 70% of our planet to a socialist/communist organization like the United Nations is absolutely astounding. And many think if we accede to this treaty, that it will be literally the death knell for American sovereignty. And I can't argue with that. I don't see any reason to be hopeful that it's going to turn out otherwise. These people that are pushing this want us into the treaty desperately. And when the United States accedes to the treaty, it will put the lock of death on our country as far as our Constitution is concerned, as far as our rule of law is concerned. We will be underneath, if you will, the thumb of this international seabed authority that's created to you know, to monitor and control this treaty. It's so far sweeping, Dr. Stan, that people, you just can't hardly get your mind around it. It's so large. They talk about the treaty talks about controlling pollution, water-based pollution, for instance, but it also talks about controlling land-based pollution. So in one sense, this could also be a backdoor to the infamous Kyoto Treaty, which, of course, is, you know, would turn the United States into a graveyard of manufacturing, because we would have to shut down a lot of our manufacturing facilities and so on because they pollute too much. But the lost treaty will allow them to control and monitor and penalize and drag into court companies that spill any kind of pollution into the air, into the water, into the sea, and so on. And it basically would just give them authoritarian control over everything on the planet.
And, you know, how could a treaty of this magnitude be being considered in the United States Senate, and yet the entire media, including much of the conservative media, is totally ignoring it? And I think that reflects just how important this is, because the last thing they want is for the American people, and even the people of the world, to understand that this is a power grab by people who have a different worldview, who want to establish a feudalistic society with everything under their control.
Exactly. The treaty passed out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about a few weeks ago. It has not been voted on yet in the Senate. It's been delayed successfully for a period of time, but there's a lot of fear at this point that the leadership in the Senate, in fact, all the Democrats in the Senate, are for the Law of the Sea Treaty. If a vote comes up during a weak session or a poorly attended session of the Senate between now and, for instance, the first of the year, it might be possible for them to squeak this through in a full. Vote of the floor of the Senate. If they had to put it to the full House or the full Senate right now, they need 67 votes for passage, and they need 34 votes against it in order to kill it. So what the people, the opponents of Law of the Sea, are looking for right now is, does the Senate have 34 votes that will vote against passage of this treaty in our country?
Well, of course, my understanding is that George Bush, true to his globalist allegiance, is supporting the Law of the Sea Treaty. Is that correct?
He not only is supporting it, it was under his leadership that it was even reintroduced again for consideration to be passed. And the White House, the administration, along with the State Department, are the ones who have lobbied intensively over this last year to get this treaty back through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and it passed with an overwhelming majority of votes, by the way, from that committee, which and then it passes out to the floor for a vote. And it would not be at all where it is right now were it not for President Bush bringing it up again.
Our leaders, listeners, have to understand that George Bush's alliance is not to the United States. It is to internationalism. He is a globalist. Now, these people want to change our form of government. By the definition in the Patriot Act, they are terrorists, because the terrorists are those who want to change our form of government, and these people want to change our form of government. They do not believe in the Constitution that they have sworn to uphold. They want to end the sovereignty of the United States and simply have us as another state in this one world government that they cherish. This age-old plan, which has been around for a long time, and if you read President Bush's speeches, you'll see frequent references. When our forefathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. When our forefathers declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. That comes from the president's second inaugural address. What's the ancient hope? Why it's this new order of the ages? What's the new order of the ages? It's the new world order. That's what George Bush is pushing, and the average individual has no idea what's going on and finds it so difficult to believe that we could have people at the highest level of our government who are subversives who want to destroy the United States and its sovereignty. Well, you know, certainly, do we have any idea? Do we have the 34 votes needed to defeat it?
Well, Dr. Stan, if it was taken before a full Senate vote today and all members were present, there are several people that say that the 34 votes to kill it are actually there. But so a lot of conservatives, as a result of that, have, and others that are against it, not just conservatives, but people against the treaty, have relaxed their guard a little bit, figuring that the 34 votes will be there when it's needed, when they pop it out to the floor. But that doesn't factor in the dirty kind of politics that are going to be played to get this treaty passed. It only has to be passed one time. And if we look back and remember the CAFTA Treaty, that's the Central American Free Trade Agreement, that was passed last year, or I guess it was earlier this year, CAFTA was passed based on a full court press into the Senate chambers by the administration. Most of Bush's cabinet members were there. Vice President Dick Cheney was there. It said that he even spent the night in the Senate bedroom. And we'll never know what kind of deals were made, twisting arms of senators to get their vote to pass CAFTA, but it passed narrowly, and it was a result of the lobbying by the White House and administration in the Senate, on the Senate floor, which should never happen anyway, but it did. And so when the vote finally pops out to the floor, the question will be, who will show up to make deals and twist arms? You know, who will show up with a hammer, so to speak, to make sure that they get compliance from less than 34 members of the Senate voting against it. Now, what's really odd here, Dr. Stan, is as a partisan issue, Democrats are uniformly for the Law of the Sea Treaty right now. Republicans are generally against it. Senator Huckabee, recently came out and said he was going to vote against it. It would seem that if it's going to get voted down, it's going to get voted down by Republicans. So what's really odd is that President Bush is the one that brought this up, but his entire support is based on Democrats, not Republicans.
Well, it just goes to show the hypocrisy of the two-party system. There's not a dime's worth of difference, really, in many respects, between the leadership of the two parties, and a lot of this is just showbiz. Now, there are some people in the Senate, there are some people in the House who really do hold strong beliefs, but
yes.
So many of these people are simply go along with the flow, and
exactly.
We have the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. that money could buy.
Right.
And believe me, when they got the CAFTA treaty through, they were offering fabulous sums of money to the districts of the legislators who would go along with that treaty. Some people might call that bribery.
Well, I would call it bribery. There's nothing else that you can call it except
right.
for bribery. It's, you know, when you offer somebody a job position, you know, like a cherry-picked, you know, job or something somewhere else or another agency or whatever, when you offer back, you know, certain favors and stuff to their home districts, which, of course, helps the people get reelected again, that's nothing but bribery. It just flat out is. They won't call it that, but that's exactly what it is, and it should be flat out illegal.
It should be illegal, and we have a totally corrupt legislative system. It's time we got men of morality and integrity in our government, or else we will not have a government that's worth keeping. We'll be right back.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Yes, there is an in-AM-FM shortwave radio. For limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT-160S AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the Power Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. To order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT-160S AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Patrick Wood. We're talking about the law of the sea treaty. Now, of course, imagine, you know, if the United Nations was able to get money from all of the offshore oil drilling and a sizable amount of money. Right today, why the United Nations has to depend upon other countries for the military. The United Nations military really is the North American. Comes from private countries, and the United Nations is dependent on them. But with the billions of dollars at their disposal, hundreds of billions of dollars, they'll be able to get their own military. Right now, as far as the police, they have to use Interpol, and the police forces of the individual countries. But with all that money, they're going to be able to have their international Gestapo. The United Nations is inherently corrupt, and we're going to reward them by giving them hundreds of billions of dollars to use every year to impose their tyranny on the rest of the world. Where is the outcry from the American people? When we joined the United Nations, we were promised this would never interfere with our sovereignty. But everything has been alive from the very beginning, and it is still alive. If you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I'm sorry, that's the number for the next hour. The number for this hour, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, I was just going to say, Dr. Stan, you're absolutely right with the angle on the military. The military, the great superpowers of the world right now, of course, the United States still has one of the largest navies in the world, but you also have China increasing its stature daily. You still have Russia, has a huge navy. You have other forces in the world, like India and so on, growing in stature. Japan and so on still has a navy. The United Nations will create will actually be able to create their own military with this, and so there will be a new global military superpower in the world that'll be financed basically mostly by the commercial interests, mining and so on, and permit fees for sending cargo containers, for instance, from China to Mexico or United States or wherever. The ships that pass on the water will have to pay a fee. Now, in order to keep order and peace on the sea, the United Nations will certainly take it under their authority to monitor their interests and to defend their interests. So we'll find that the United Nations troops are... The Navy and military will be made up of members from various countries around the world. We're already contributing people to the United Nations from our military. I could see, a huge percentage of our military being subverted to UN use, perhaps even part of our own fleet. And they will be marching and sailing to the orders of UN personnel. It's a frightening thought, Dr. Stan. Frightening thought.
And, of course, the U.N. personnel are an independent bureaucracy, not answerable to anybody.
They're appointed and answerable to no one.
Right. And I think it's so vitally important for people to understand that the United Nations is not a representative organization. It is an elitist organization where these people get special salaries and special benefits and special pensions. And once you get in there, why, you become part of this ruling elite that is not answerable to the people of the world. This is not democratic in any manner or means anymore. The European Union is a democratic organization, a massive bureaucracy that will control you. And freedom, as we've noted, will simply become a remembrance of things past.
Sure.
If you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. Ask yourself, if this is really a problem, why aren't we hearing about it? Why isn't Rush Limbaugh telling us? Well, that should be pretty obvious. Because Rush Limbaugh, once again, one of the finest conservatives money could buy. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, that's probably the right way to look at it, Dr. Stan. And there's a few more of him right in that same stable. The fact that there have already been 143 countries that have suckered into this treaty, we have held off for many years. And these other 143 countries, many of them are landlocked countries around the world that never been to the ocean. Some of them never been to the ocean, period. And the promise was for them to join was that they would have a share, if you will, in the profits that come off of the exploitation of the sea. And that's, again, it's back to greed, but it's promised him a carrot and giving him a piece of coal in the end, I'm sure. But
hold that thought, we're going to be right back. Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Spyville.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras, cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home. Night vision cameras, covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, and more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with a small handheld spy finder. And locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Spyville.com also carries a wide variety of night vision scopes, allowing you to see in the darkest conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras made to fit any situation. We also carry a large selection of personal security devices. Keep your personal belongings secure using our hidden safes made out of everyday household items, including an outlet safe and even an underwear safe. Go online and check out our huge selection of spy-related gear. Christmas is coming, so don't delay. Go to spyville.com. That is S-P-Y-V-I-L-L-E.com. Or call us today at 866-779-8455. That's 866-779-8455. Spyville.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal. Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly we're talking with Patrick Wood of the August Foundation. So I'm going to ask Patrick to go ahead and get his website out there so you'll know how to get in touch with him.
Sorry,
the August Review, isn't it?
AugustReview.com. www.augustreview.com. And our information is without charge. We love donations, but this is too important to limit to people only that have money. So we urge you to go there. Our video center has several videos, very good videos, on the Law of the Sea Treaty. And I would encourage anybody to go and listen to two or three of them at least, just to get a flavor for the danger that lurks inside of this just terrible treaty for the United States.
Well, these are videos you made, or they come from elsewhere?
Pardon?
These videos, they the ones that you made, or did they come from elsewhere?
Well, these are videos that come from all over the country, actually, Dr. Stan. I've got one really good video from Howard Phillips' organization, Conservative Caucus. There's another one by Henry Lamb on Law of the Sea Treaty. Great background information, stuff like that. There's a Fox newscast that actually talks about it to some detail, gives the positions of the presidential candidates and so on currently on Law of the Sea. These are just really good things to go and listen and hear it with your own ears.
Well, how do the candidates feel? Are any of the candidates opposed to it?
Well, some are, some aren't. I don't know how many Democrats have been nailed on this yet, but Fred Thompson came out against the treaty recently. John Kyle said, Duncan Hunter is absolutely opposed to it. I'm trying to think who else we have out there in the field right now that would matter.
John McCain.
John McCain is not sure. He said he looked at it once upon a time, but hasn't recently. So he withheld his opinion.
Romney?
Romney right now, I believe, is against it also. And as I said, most Republicans, seems like more Republicans are jockeying to be against the treaty right now than for it. But, you know, those kinds of verbal statements don't hold anything. What holds anything is when you get right down to casting your vote, putting your hand on the button, and, you know, all the other lobbyists and stuff are there to pound the dickens out of you to get you to vote their way. That's where you really find out where these, you know, where these politicians stand. And we've seen people flip-flop over the years in droves. Where they say one thing that they're certainly not never going to do a certain thing, and you know, never in a thousand years will I do such a thing, and then you find out 2 weeks later that they did just the opposite. And when it came down to casting the vote, they just quietly pressed the other button.
Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment on the Law of the Sea Treaty, on Lost. Why, first, we'd like to hear from you, because I think this is such a vitally important subject. Now, of course, it really goes right along with this whole internationalist dream. And Patrick, many years ago in the late 70s, was working with a good friend of mine, Professor Anthony Sutton, on the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, the Trilateral Commission had been created in the early 1970s by Zbigniew Brzezinski at the behest of David Rockefeller to bring together the political leaders of the Asian, American, and European parts of the world. But the ultimate goal of the Trilateral Commission was world government. That's the ultimate goal of the Bilderbergers. That's the ultimate goal of the Club of Rome. That's the ultimate goal of the Council on Foreign Relations. People do not understand all of these organizations are working towards the same ultimate objective, and that is the destruction of national sovereignty, the destruction of freedom, and, of course, this imposition of this world feudalistic system. Would you want to just to sort of develop that? Do you think that all of these organizations are pushing Lost?
Well, they are, Dr. Stan, and I would want to point out that that the Trilateral Commission in its early days had a significant contribution to the creation of Lost. And the first U.S. delegate to the Law of the Sea was appointed by President Jimmy Carter, and that was none other than Elliot Richardson. An original member of the Trilateral Commission and one of the many people that Carter appointed to top-level positions in his administration. At the time, and I would speak for Tony, I think probably if he were here right now, that at the time, in 1976, nobody really had any clue what, you know, the delegate to the Law of the Sea was. It was, you know, like an ambassadorship, and you know, you could have discovered pretty quickly it had something to do with the United Nations, but, you know, compared to being, for instance, the chief envoy to China or the ambassador to the United Nations or the Secretary of State, the delegate to the Law of the Sea would have been a minor appointment. It would have been viewed as a minor appointment. Yet, looking backwards now, we can see this was hardly a minor appointment. We can also see that it was important enough to the members of the Trilateral Commission at that time to take one of those 20-odd people that were brought in from the Trilateral Commission under Carter and assign them to negotiate on the Law of the Sea Treaty, and that was Elliot Richardson back in 1976. Absolutely an amazing paper trail on this, Dr. Stan. It goes way back, and we find the same people in our country at the root of it.
And, of course, they all come from these globalist organizations. These basically subversive organizations. Nobody wants to call them subversive, but they are. These subversive organizations that are working to change the structure of our government. take away the freedom of the people and transfer it to international bureaucrats and then to the ruling elite who will control those international bureaucrats. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you and I will have no control over that. Our number, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, it's so important for people to understand the power, the force, the wealth that is behind this whole idea to destroy the sovereignty of America, to bring about this world government. So, you know, really, what can the average individual do at this time, Patrick?
Well, other than putting pressure on their senators, don't worry about your congressmen. Your senators, the Senate is where this vote is going to take place. Other than putting pressure on your local, say, your state senators, your state's senators, and informing other people around you to do the same, there's not a whole lot that we can do in the short term, Dr. Stan. This is we may only have 30 days until this thing actually gets passed or defeated. And, of course, even if it gets defeated, it doesn't mean that it can't come back again. It probably will. These people have had a history of just continually presenting stuff for votes until they get their way. And so just even if they do defeat it in this month, a year from now or 9 months from now, it could be back again in maybe just a slightly different form, but it'll be back again knocking on the door, and we'll have to go through this whole process again.
Well, I think the important thing is for people to understand that the people who are pushing this don't care how the American people feel. They don't care about our Constitution. They don't care about our heritage of freedom because they don't believe in any of them. They are frankly subversives, and nobody wants to call them that, but they are. Subversives are those who want to secretly change our form of government. And if you want to change our form of government, fine. Get the people behind you, you know, amend the Constitution. They don't want to do that. They don't want the people to know what they're really up to. And so everything is done by subterfuge in secrecy and, of course, under the radar screen.
Exactly. We should ask the question why the United Nations is only standing against two countries in the world consistently, and that's the United States and Israel. Otherwise, the United Nations is pro-communist, pro-Marxist, pro-Islamicist, and pro-anything else except for pro-freedom. The United States is the only country in the world right now that still has a vestige of freedom associated with it. That's why they want to get rid of us in particular, Dr. Stan. We're a thorn in their side, and we are, if you will, we're restraining them. We are the ones who are holding them back from their global plan. We must be eliminated so that their global plan can go forward. And that's why everything in the United Nations is against the United States. Doesn't matter what we do, we're wrong. That's, you know, they figure they want to get rid of us. They need to get us out of the way for their global plan to take over.
But of course, the thing is that they have so much power within our own government. As you said, literally all of the Democrats support the Law of the Sea Treaty. And
exactly.
Sure, we have some Republicans that do not, but are there enough of them to block this? And certainly when the President of the United States, who is a Republican, is pushing this as the primary force behind this, how can Republican senators hold out against their leader?
Exactly. And time will tell, right when they get down to actually push the button, that will be the only time where we'll know how they're going to vote, because what they say and what they do are often two different things. Plus, the full court press has not started from the White House yet to try and twist votes out of individual senators. I'm sure there's a lot of backroom jockeying going on right now, but it hasn't really gotten too obvious yet. But you can imagine when the vote is finally announced, the time and date for the vote, you can imagine that the day before, the night before, and that day of the vote, the Senate chambers will be overrun with people from the administration, from the State Department, from the President Bush's cabinet, and maybe even Vice President Cheney will come down again, and they'll be making deals, twisting arms, getting consents to change, you know, change votes and so on. And when they actually push that button, we'll know how successful the White House was or not in ramming it down our throat.
Well, I think people have to understand that the United States State Department is simply an appendage of the Council on Foreign Relations. Certainly going back to the time of Cordell Hull, immediately after the Second World War, every Secretary of State has come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations. We're not talking about half of them, the majority of them, or, you know, the Republicans. No, the Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. They all come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is pushing the Law of the Sea Treaty. And you have to understand that Vice President Dick Cheney comes from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Certainly the majority of the cabinet and people in key positions in George Bush's executive branch of government, they come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And the purpose of the Council has always been to bring about this world government. And they are behind this whole internationalist movement. And the fact that most people don't understand that, it doesn't matter whether you elect a Republican or a Democratic president, the State Department will remain under the control of this elitist group.
That's exactly right. That's it's almost like, as several people have mentioned this, it's like a government within the government.
Well,
like in other words, like a shadow government within the government structure that we the people see.
Well, I think it behooves every one of our listeners to start reading about this, to start talking about this, certainly to call their senators and email their senators and fax their senators and say, vote no on this. Now, I mean, there probably will be a certain number of senators who are just waiting to see what sort of response. And if all the response is pushing for it and there's no opposition, they're going to go with the flow. But if they know that their constituents are, you know, are up in arms at the idea of giving away our sovereignty, at least some of them, and we don't need that many, but some of them may very well vote the right way.
Yes. We can only pray and hope that way.
All right. So what do you want our listeners to do, Patrick?
Well, you know, at this point, education is still something. If they're not educated, they need to get that way. And they can go to, as I said, to augustreview.com, and they can... you know, pick up some information. If they have access to the internet, they can. In addition, they can, you know, search out some other articles and stuff through the search engines on Law of the Sea Treaty. Cliff Kincaid, a friend of mine, has written quite a bit of articles on Law of the Sea over a period of time. He's probably one of the most knowledgeable people today. You know, it goes back with a history of it, like 10, 15 years. And, you know, you can read some of Cliff Kincaid's articles on it to get really up to speed. But in the end of it, people are going to have to not just sit back and look at this, you know, with kind of amazement, thinking, well, this couldn't possibly happen in my country. Oh, yes, it can. And oh, yes, it is. And if we don't do anything about it, believe me, nobody else is going to do anything about it either. So it's up to us, the people. If we don't make our voices known to our individual senators and get as many other of our friends behind it as well, to get them to call senators and to send faxes and emails and so on, you know, we're going to lose this vote, and we're just going to risk losing our country right on the spot. You remember back when the amnesty bill was the illegal immigration bill was running hot and heavy a few months ago. The calls from American people against it shut down the Capitol switchboard. We need to do that again three times over on this one if it comes up for a vote this month, or any time for that matter. And let them know that there will be you-know-what to pay if they vote yes. They will not be in office next time, and we will remember who sold our country down the tubes.
And really, of course, what we need is for other ministries, other conservatives, other alternative sources of information to start getting the information out. So it behooves, I think, our listeners to start calling other talk show programs.
Absolutely.
And this is how you get the information out.
Absolutely. Sending letters to the editor, talking to newspaper people. If you know a reporter, go find a reporter and befriend them and give them information on this and challenge them to write a story on it. But we've got to get the word out. We don't have the support of the major media. We know that. That just leaves, you know, that leaves alternative media, leaves grassroots organizations and so on to do something about it. If you belong to a group or a club or whatever, educate the group or club and get them all mobilized at the same time. This is not an issue of being Republican or Democrat. This is an issue of being an American. And we can argue over differences of social policy and so on after we save our country from complete extinction. But let me tell you, if our country ends up being a type of a country like, for instance, in communist China or one of the Islamic countries, the way they settle dispute in those companies is either with a machete or a bullet.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylamines, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day trying to educate people about the fact that we have subversives working at the highest level of our government, people who are intent upon changing our form of government, destroying our freedom, and bringing about a new world order and new world religion. And, of course, their loyalty is to the coming world leader. Now, certainly, if you want documentation on what we say, An excellent source is my website, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to many of our programs, which are archived there. Certainly, you can get our DVDs. We have a whole section there. You can watch them for nothing. You can certainly read our past newsletters. You know, you listen to our programs, read our past newsletters, and check the documentation. Understand that there are powerful spiritual forces at work within our society, and many of them are related to the other dimension. Understand that there have been secret societies around since the time of ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt and ancient Persia. And, of course, these organizations, these secret societies, have had a secret, and they passed it down through the ages. That's why you need to actually see my DVD entitled The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. Now, that goes right along with my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, but there's a syllabus with the Forbidden Secret talk. It will give you tremendous insight into what this secret is that's been passed down through the ages. Cindy, Rhonda Burns, coming from the other side, supporting, you know, what's going on, who really believes that if you tap into this secret, you'll have great wealth and power, and I believe that's true, too. But, of course, she thinks that's good, and we would simply pointing out that when you do tap into this other source of power that has made so many people very wealthy, and some of the wealthiest men in the world are involved in this. But of course, they have, of course, to make a pact with Lucifer, make a pact with the devil. And many of them know exactly what they've done, and they've done that. If you've not yet seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour versions. You need to understand the secret that has been passed down. Why we have a 4-tape or 4-CD set, the secret behind the secret. You need to get it. You need to watch it. You need to understand the danger. You need to understand that many people within the highest levels of our government have gone over to the dark side. We have a wonderful DVD. We have a wonderful book and 4-tape set called Satanic Crimes. That's Satanic Crimes. And you can go to the website there, WilliamHKennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com. You will see the Skull and Bones initiation, which our president went through, where he has to pledge his allegiance to Lucifer. Pledge his allegiance to Lucifer. And when President Bush was asked by Tim Russert during the last president's election about the Skull and Bones, he said, well, it's just too secret. I can't even talk about it. Same response they got from John Kerry. Two members of the Skull and Bones secret society running against one another for the presidency of the United States back in 2004. And nobody thought that was unusual, or the fact that John Kerry, who had millions of dollars at his disposal at the end of the program, the end of the presidential race, didn't bother to challenge the corrupt results in Oklahoma, because John Kerry won the presidency. But he really, of course, he knew how the game was going to be played. They wanted a Republican who could discredit the Republican Party, who could discredit Christianity, who would lead us from war to war, and that's what we got. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your...
this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Kathleen Willey. Now, Kathleen, are you there? Thank you so very much. And Kathleen has written a book called Target, Caught in the Crosshairs of Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's a fascinating book. And those of you who may not remember, of course, the days of the Clinton administration, but Bill Clinton was accused of certainly of being extremely, well, of being a sexual predator. And there was Juanita Broderick who claimed that she had been raped, and Paula Jones, and of course there was Monica Lewinsky, and but there was a woman named Kathleen Willey who has a story about what happened when she was in the White House, distraught because of financial problems, and had gone to the president. Actually, Kathleen worked in the White House. She was a volunteer in the White House, and eventually, of course, she even had a paid position in the White House. But what we have to understand is she played a very important part in bringing to light the man, the sort of man that Bill Clinton was. And, of course, Hillary Clinton was working right behind the scenes, trying to do everything she could to discredit all of these various women who had been accosted by Bill Clinton, the President of the United States, and now that woman, Hillary Clinton, is running for the presidency. So let me ask the leading question. Kathleen, you could have written a book 10 years ago and made a lot of money, and you needed the money, but you didn't write the book. Then why are you writing this book now?
Well, for a number of reasons. On a personal level, it was very cathartic for me to be able to sit down and write this book and tell this story because, it gave me the opportunity to try to reclaim my life and to get back things that that the Clintons tried to take away from me. I was subjected to a brutal smear campaign and terror tactics and intimidation and threats. And there was a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of lies, and it was good for me to be able to do that and correct the record. And, it also just coincides with, we're right on the eve of a national election, and hopefully people will buy my book called Target, and read my story and think long and hard before they vote, because hopefully I will be able to enlighten people as to what the Clintons are capable of doing.
And of course they've even broke into your house not too long ago and stole a manuscript, didn't they?
Over Labor Day weekend, within a couple of days of my few stories appearing in the national media that my I was just finishing my book and it was going to be published in November, and somebody broke into my house in the middle of the night and took my manuscript. And, I knew right away who was behind it because I had dealt with the same kinds of dirty tricks and, Nixonian behavior back during impeachment. I know that the message was twofold when they came in here, was first to try to terrify me again, and secondly to see what was in my book so they could be prepared for it.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important to understand that we're dealing with ruthless people, and we're going to be talking about the harassment that Kathleen had to go through, 10 years ago. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest for this next hour is going to be Kathleen Willey. And the name may not mean much to you, but it did 10 years ago. Kathleen was a woman who'd gone into the White House to ask a man she thought was her friend, the President of the United States, for help getting a job. They were having some real serious financial problems. She and her husband was in serious legal problems. And Kathleen, there in the Oval Office and in the adjacent rooms, was groped by the President and basically sexually molested by the President of the United States. And, you know, it was that same day that her husband committed suicide. I mean, it was a grotesque story, which she never wanted to be brought out. But eventually, because she made a mistake of telling one person or perhaps two people about what had happened, and eventually the story did come out, and she was a very key figure in the impeachment hearings of the President of the United States and had to endure tremendous harassments and threats against her and threats against her family by the Clinton, and of course Hillary was, as far as we can tell, was coordinating this whole thing, because Bill Clinton, and although a charming and charismatic individual, really in many respects is very ineffective, whereas Hillary is exactly the opposite. Would that be a fair appraisal, Kathleen?
Yes, you know, it was a pretty terrifying time for me.
Why don't you tell about the harassment they put you through to try to intimidate you, to keep you from testifying before the impeachment hearings?
Oh, a number of things. Shortly after I was subpoenaed in the Paula Jones sexual harassment lawsuit, you know, her lawyers were looking for any and all women they could find who, you know, had been subjected to Bill Clinton's bad behavior, and my car was vandalized. You have to understand that I don't live in a neighborhood or a subdivision. I live out in the country, and I'm very remote, and you know, you have to work real hard to find me. And
but of course, they always could find you. They had their spies out there, knowing where you were, and they even hired a private investigator to harass you, didn't they?
Well, Hillary's had private investigators on her payroll for well over 30 years, the secret police, as I call them. But, you know, my car was vandalized. Somebody came down here with a nail gun and split three of my tires. You know, obviously I didn't run over any nails.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Kathleen. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kathleen Wiley is talking about how she was actually harassed, an organized program of harassment, how they had somebody come down to this rather remote area where she lives and with a nail gun and drive in large numbers of nails in very limited areas into her tires. And, you know, fortunately, she didn't have an accident, but I'm sure that those tires had to be repaired or replaced. And then what was this story of the jogger who came by your remote area and Sydney let you know that they were watching your children?
He did. I was out walking early in the morning, which was my habit. And obviously, I was being watched. And a man appeared to be jogging. He was jogging, and he came up to me, and he asked me if I'd ever found my lost cat. I had a wonderful old cat who disappeared in the middle of all these other things that were going on. And you know, I had put some signs up, and I never found him, but he had a name tag on, and this man came up to me and asked me if I had ever found my cat, and I just thought he was being a friendly neighbor, and I told him no, that, you know, but I still looked for him every day. And then the man said, yeah, that cat, that bullseye, he was a really nice cat.
Now, how would he even know the name of your cat?
Well, because he got him. Because he had him. He took him.
And then he asked about your children, didn't
he? Yeah, I mean, and then, he talked about my cat in the past tense. And then he asked me if I ever got the tires fixed on my car. That's when I realized, you know.
And you kept asking him who he was, and he wouldn't tell you who he was. He
didn't. And then he asked me how my children were by name, and he asked me about children of some very dear friends of mine by name, and then he just left, and he said to me before I ran home, you're just not getting the picture, are you? And the picture was to go into court 2 days later and lie under oath and not tell the story of what happened in the Oval Office.
And, of course, the thing is that they would go to any length to threaten people. Now, of course, you're very lucky. You didn't end up like Mr. McDougal did, who was in prison, and it's very, very sensitive, diabetic, actually, put into isolation and allowed to die. He was going to testify, you know, under oath against the President of the United States. And Ken Starr left him there, where, of course, he was under the Clintons' control. And McDougal died. McDougal's wife was smart. She went to prison rather than speak out. There were an awful lot of people who were affiliated with the Clintons at that time who did die under mysterious circumstances, weren't there, Kathleen?
I think I was very lucky to still be here because these are ruthless people. You know, they'll stop at nothing, and it's, you know.
What's so tragic is that one of them is the ex-president who's being lauded and applauded by the media, and the other is one of the leading Democratic candidates for the presidency of the United States, Hillary Clinton.
I know.
And yet she was really instrumental. Wasn't she coordinating, as far as you can tell, a lot of this harassment of you and the other women who would come forward, not necessarily intentionally, but who'd come forward to tell about how they'd been mistreated by Bill Clinton?
Well, you know, I've talked to a number of people. You know, there are women out there that that are afraid to talk, and I've talked to them, and there's a number of them.
I mean, these were other women whose names we don't necessarily know, and they're afraid for their lives or their reputation?
They saw what happened to me, and they saw what they tried to do to Monica Lewinsky and Paula Jones, and these women have told me that, you know, that they just can't, you know, they're afraid to go public with their stories. And basically, they thanked me for giving them a voice, which, you know, I'm glad to do.
But, of course, it had been a terrible price for you, and there's been a lot of financial problems that you've had. A lot of people think you got paid for appearing on 60 Minutes. I remember.
Nobody pays you to go on their shows.
But, of course, Bill Bennett, of course, people who don't know who Bob Bennett is, he was the president's lawyer. He's the brother of Bill Bennett, who's the great conservative leader, who's as phony as a $3 bill. But Bob Bennett, of course, pretended to befriend you, and then didn't he end up actually lying about you and doing everything he could to trash you and trash your reputation and saying that the only reason you went on 60 Minutes was in preparation for releasing this book you were going to get all this money for?
I didn't get a lot of money to write this book. I was accused of lying. I was desperate. I would do anything for money. But that was one of the reasons. And I was offered obscene amounts of money by the tabloids at that time. And believe me, considering the financial situation I was in, it would have been very helpful. But I knew the minute I got paid by a tabloid for my story that all my credibility would just be out the window. And my credibility just meant more to me than anything. And I didn't take any of those offers. But this opportunity came along, and it was a good time for me to sit down and write this book.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's a great book. But I think that when Bob Bennett, the brother of Bill Bennett, actually went from talk show to talk show lying about you and saying that 10 years ago you had a contract for a book which you didn't have.
No.
But they implanted that idea in the minds of the people.
Of course.
And they basically said, you know, well, right now, of course, everybody's on Kathleen's side after the 60-minute interview, but that's all going to change. Her numbers are going to go down. And they set out to trash you.
That was a good friend, Sid Blumenthal, a very good friend of Hillary Clinton. She brought him into that White House, and he was the one who told Christopher Hitchens, who's a well-known author, that I might look good, you know, right after 60 Minutes, but wait till the end of the week when my numbers are down. And then even admitted he could go to jail for what he was trying to do to me.
And, of course, the thing is that they simply use the mass media to make you out to be a tramp. As if somebody, it was your fault that the president accosted you.
Well, you know, and where were the women's groups? They were nowhere to be found. They didn't come to my aid at all. And the reason was because, you know, Bill Clinton was their guy. You know, he was pro-choice, and that's what it all boiled down to. I mean, these women's groups are disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful, and they're hypocrites.
Well, of course, the thing is that you were a lifelong Democrat, and I think you probably still are. And, of course, you were an idealist.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm an independent.
All right, fine. Well, but you really had been a lifelong Democrat, and that's you'd helped, you know, Bill Clinton raise money, fundraising. You'd actually been working very hard to get him elected into the presidency, and you volunteered to work in the White House because you really believed in what he was doing and what he stood for. Isn't that true?
Well, yeah, I did. You know, I was a very loyal Democrat, and but I no longer am. I no longer am.
And, of course, it's how disillusioning of you it must have been for you to find out that this man that you had worked for so hard for nothing, I mean, you weren't getting paid for this, you know, that this man you'd worked for so very hard for really was, you know, a man with no class at all. He was a sexual predator, and he was ready to prey on you or any other woman, but you just happened to be the handy one at the moment.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question again?
Well, basically, it must have been very disillusioning for you to see the real Bill Clinton, the sexual predator.
Oh, it was. It was, you know, it was a terrible betrayal. It really was.
All right, and of course, then you tried to keep this secret. You really didn't want this to get out at all, did you?
No, I did not.
All right, how did it get out? How did the information...
I don't know.
Well, I thought you had a friend named Julie
Friend. I suspect that she, you know, she definitely was trying to make money, and she did make money off of this. I mean, she sold me out. This was a former friend, but she was a friend of 20 years who sold me out to the tabloids the day after my name went public for $15,000. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if she was the one who, you know, who talked about what had happened.
All right, fine. Well, what about Hillary Clinton? What are your thoughts about Hillary after having been harassed by people she's obviously been working with?
She's a dangerous woman. You know, she's a dangerous woman. And, you know, she's sinister. And, you know, she's enabled her husband's behavior for well over 30 years. And instead of just either kicking him out or trying to get him some kind of treatment, what she does is she goes after the women who have the misfortune of crossing paths with Bill Clinton. And, you know, and she's doing it today. I mean, she's had these well-known, infamous private investigators on her payroll for well over 30 years, like I said. And, you know, I don't think we need to have secret police operating out of the Oval Office.
Well, now, who was this one PI, private investigator, who actually came forward and admitted he'd been hired by Hillary to harass you?
Jack Palladino.
And how did that happen? How did he happen to come forward and tell the truth?
Well, he was a very well-known talk show host out in the San Francisco area named Melanie Morgan. Had been a real, she had really believed in me and was very supportive of me. And she happened to see Jack Palladino and his wife, who is also his partner, at a book fair. He spoke there. And she just went up to him after he spoke and said, "Aren't you ashamed of what you did to Kathleen Willey?" And he looked at his wife and kind of gave her a smirk. And he said to Melanie, "What I'm embarrassed about is that Hillary Clinton didn't pay us in a timely manner."
Well, you know, this is the sort of people that Hillary would get there. The private investigator has no shame, and Hillary has no shame.
Right.
Well, what's really frightening are the number of people who died under very mysterious circumstances who were not friends of Bill's.
It was?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Vince Foster, because, of course, as you read Kathleen's book, you really get this overview of so many of the things that happened a decade ago during the Clinton administration, and although it may very well be good for Kathleen and nostalgia, it's good for the rest of us, because it brings back to mind so many of the things that happened during that era. Certainly you'd never know, reading the newspaper today, that there was any scandal associated with Bill Clinton. He's built up, he's charming, he's getting an excellent press. And yet, of course, we go back 10 years and we find out what a real scoundrel he really was. And then, of course, you get into the story of Vince Foster and Ron Brown and so many of the other people who died under mysterious circumstances. And there was really almost a very sinister aspect of this whole story. And you sort of review, at least you touch on a lot of these things, and in your book.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, all of us have seen these long lists of people who, met their demise very, very suspiciously. And, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but, I mean, these lists have followed these people for years and years and years and years. And, you don't see these kinds of lists dogging and following people like John McCain or Mitt Romney or John Edwards. And, at some point you just have to wonder if maybe some of it's true.
And, of course, these were the lists of people who died under various mysterious circumstances.
I mean, an unusual number of suicides. I mean, think about it. How many people do you know in your lifetime who have taken their own lives? And if you look at that list, I mean, it's staggering how many people who, quote-unquote, committed suicide, who were associated with the Clintons in some way, shape, or form.
Amen to that. Well, of course, there were many, many things. You have quite a bit in your book about Linda Tripp and, of course, the part that she played. And we get an entirely different interpretation and view of Linda Tripp from your book than I got from the media when these things were going on a decade ago. You were fairly close to Linda at one time, weren't you?
Yes, I was. We were good friends, but we did not part friends.
And, of course, but then Linda Tripp set out to exploit you and to to criticize you harshly. What happened to Linda? Of course, she ended up losing her job, didn't she?
She lost her job, and she was not real happy about that. And she basically, she was working in counsel's office when a man by the name of Bernie Nussbaum, who was White House counsel, was there. And not surprisingly, he was in some, found himself in some difficulty, another Clinton scandal, and he had to leave. And a new White House counsel came in and brought his staff, and Linda was asked to leave. And at that point, I was given a part-time position at the White House, and I stayed there. And she was determined. She was furious. She thought that, she said that I, took her place, which is ridiculous, because I was being paid $20,000 a year for this job. And, she was making well over 50, so that wasn't it at all. But, she did not like the Clintons. And, she wound up at the Pentagon with a very, high-paying job. And unfortunately for the Clintons,
Pardon? Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess it's Kathleen Willie, and of course we're talking about her book, Target. And if you'd like to get the book, we think it's well worthwhile, and you can order it through our ministry here at Radio Liberty. The subtitle is Caught in the Crosshairs of Bill and Hillary Clinton. And of course the book not only talks about Kathleen's own tragic experience at the hands of the President of the United States, but also, of course, of all the other women who were there, and, of course, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, of the Paula Jones, the Juanita Broderick story of being raped by the president. And, of course, you remember that they paid Paula Jones, about $1 million or something to settle her suit?
Yeah, but poor Paula never saw much of any of it.
I'm sure she didn't.
The lawyers took it all.
And, well, that is not the way it usually works. You were lucky you had a pretty good lawyer, didn't you, who looked after you?
Oh, he was incredibly kind. I mean, I was very lucky to have him for an attorney. I really was.
And, of course, you were just trying to keep out of trouble. And, of course, you were called then to testify in a Paula Jones lawsuit. And did you ever testify before Kenneth Starr?
I did. I went to the grand jury and testified there.
And, of course, any time Kathleen opened her mouth immediately, the big propaganda machine controlled by Hillary and Bill then would come out to trash her. And she wasn't looking for publicity. She never wanted the story to come out. She never intended it to come out. It was really forced upon her. Is that a fair appraisal?
Yes, I didn't want any parts of it. As far as I was concerned, that story was going to, you know, go to my grave with me. And unfortunately, I just, you know, I was forced to testify. And even though the Clinton, you know, operatives tried to threaten me and intimidate me into, you know, basically going in and lying under oath, you know, I told what happened. And, you know, and I never heard, you know, and that's when everything started. Excuse me, my dog was...
Well, are you still living in the same little cottage that you were before?
Pardon?
Are you still living in that same cottage that you...
I am. I live in a wonderful little house in the country. And, you know, I'm still here. They didn't force me out. I'm not going anywhere.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk about a few things. You know, your impression of Hillary. Do you think that that she is simply an opportunist and using Bill so that she could become the president?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, this woman has enabled this man's behavior since before they got married. And but she realized that, you know, she needs him for power. And they had a 30-year plan, and I talk about this in my book, Target, that he would run for president and, you know, and win. And, of course, we had to suffer through 8 years of him, but and then she would run for president and she would follow. And we're watching that plan unfold before our very eyes.
And so this is really all part of a long-range plan on their part to dominate America. And, of course, Hillary has some pretty authoritarian ideas. She doesn't believe in our Constitution. She believes the free enterprise system has failed, and she wants a paternalistic state. Now, is it time for the United States to elect a woman president, do you think?
Oh, certainly. I mean, there are many qualified women out there who would make good presidents. And it is time for a woman to lead us, but just not this woman. Not that woman.
All right, fine. Now, what about this manuscript that was actually stolen from you? Do you have any idea who might have taken that? Or do you think that they were desperate to know what was in your book for fear it would hurt Hillary's campaign, her effort to become the president?
Sure. I know that they wanted to see what was in that manuscript so they could be prepared.
And
they had to know it wasn't going to be flattering.
And, of course, the thing is that these people will stop at absolutely nothing. And you need to only go back and read some of those books. We have one book, it's out of print now, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, and all the criminality that certainly Hillary and Bill were involved in. I mean, they were getting government files and using that information against their enemies. And, of course, they certainly had their own investigators, their own Gestapo that was out there. And, you know, the descriptions of Hillary in the White House. I mean, a woman who would yell and scream and swear and use, you know, language that would make a sailor blush.
Exactly.
And yet, and so there are many, many references of this in Kathleen's book. She simply talked about things in other books. Most of them I've read, whether it would certainly be, we won't go into the titles of the books, but they're available. But she reviews, and the people who worked in the White House hated Hillary Clinton. She was apparently a vile-mouthed individual and totally cruel.
You're absolutely right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Kathleen Willie. Kathleen, would you take any calls? Do you mind taking calls from the audience?
No, I'd be glad to.
All right, fine. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Kathleen, anything you'd like to ask her, why? But the book itself reads very well. Did you write this or did you have somebody help you with it? Kathleen?
I did have someone help me write it with it. You know, I'm not a professional writer.
Yeah, well, you did a good job. I mean, it's your material. Somebody else put it down for you. You know, there's an art note on the back of the book written by Christopher Hitchens, who I happen to like as a reporter, and he said, "The White House under Bill and Hillary Clinton was a moral and political slum, where a decent woman could be molested in the Oval Office and defamed and harassed when she complained. It's shocking to think that the crooked partnership could ever be allowed back into our executive mansion." And Kathleen Willie has done a great service by reminding us so vividly of what it was like the last time. And, of course, he's referring to the last time that the Clintons were in the White House. And, Sidney, I mean, how do you think a great country like ours could ever allow a man like Bill Clinton to become president, but even more frightening, even consider having a woman like Hillary Clinton as president?
At what? I'm sorry?
I mean, how could our country, a great country like ours, allow a man who is really almost, well, he's a sexual predator, allow him to become the president of the United States? That's bad enough, but then, of course, we have the prospect of Hillary becoming the next president. I mean, how could our country allow that sort of thing? Where is the outcry from the people? Where is the outcry from the feminists? Where is the outcry from the liberals who should be defending women's rights?
That's a good question. I don't think the American people are going to put her back in the White House. I just have to have faith in the wisdom of the people in this country who go to the polls and vote. I mean, she may be popular in the Democratic Party, but I don't think she's very popular, with the general population.
All right.
You know, I think people are starting to see her for who she really is.
Well, do you think that, Sidney, we've heard these stories of basically how cruel she was to people who worked for her. Do you think that's really true? Was she was actually cruel?
I've seen the way she treats people.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kathleen Willie. Kathleen Willie. And, of course, Kathleen has written a wonderful book called Target. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to ask Kathleen a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But this is a fascinating book because it reviews those tragic days when Bill Clinton was in the White House, and, of course, leading up to the impeachment of the president, and then, of course, Trent Lott, absolute refusal to allow the Senate to hear the evidence against the president, for his promiscuity and his really total, depravity. Really, this is the only description you could really put onto the president. Did you ever run into Monica Lewinsky at all?
No, I've never met her.
All right, fine. But certainly you did know Linda Tripp very well, and Sidney, you played an important part in the Paula Jones lawsuit, but even more that in the hearings that led up to the impeachment of the President of the United States, but at a tremendous personal price, because, of course, this was a program of organized harassment. Isn't a program of organized harassment, isn't that illegal? Aren't there laws to protect people from people who would harass you intentionally, like stalking you? Because you were followed, weren't you, many times?
I was. I would think there would be laws against it.
No, of course you had
the problem is, you know, these people are so good at what they do, it's hard to prove.
But, of course, you had a lot of contact with the FBI. What did the FBI agent's attitude towards your stories about, certainly the sabotaging of your car and the jogger and the other threats against you and them breaking into your home, things of that sort?
All of these things are well documented in my book, Target.
But what did the FBI do about it?
There was nothing. They just got to a point where everybody was stonewalling. I mean, a very well-known private investigator by the name of Kerry Lensner, who has a group in Washington. He was subpoenaed. He testified before ChemStar's grand jury about witness tampering and witness intimidation. And he just took the fifth. They couldn't get anything out of him. They're very good at what they do.
But you think that they actually were witness tampering? They were trying to get people to lie before the grand jury?
Sure. They tried to get me to lie when I went into Paula Jones, deposed in her lawsuit.
How did they try to get you to lie? What did they actually do?
Well, that was the 2 days before that when that jogger came up and threatened my children. I mean, when they threaten your children, that takes it up to a whole new level in my book. And, that was just one of many things that they tried to do to me. I came home to dead pets. I had a prowler I found around my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it never ended.
And, of course, didn't they even leave a little skull on your front porch?
They did. Mm-hmm.
A little dead raccoon, a little raccoon skull. All this.
Well, they wanted me to think it was my cat skull. That's what that was. And that was the Monday after my deposition. Which was on a Saturday morning, and by that time, they knew that I had gone in there and, and told the story because Bob Bennett was in there, and he cross-examined me.
And Bob,
up until that moment, I hadn't told him anything.
But Bob Bennett was the president's lawyer, mm-hmm. And he is the brother of William Bennett. Doom, just like Gary Bowers to lead the Protestants. But be that as it may, that has nothing to do with Kathleen Willey and the things that she had to endure. And of course, here was a woman whose husband had committed lots of opportunities to made a lot of money from the tabloids, but you didn't take any of those opportunities because you really didn't want to get be discredited by people being able to say, well, it was the whole story was for money.
That's right. I just knew the minute I took money for it, I wouldn't have. Would have. Actually, they lied to me and the things and, they went and talked to this former friend of mine, this horrible woman who sold me out to the tabloids. And
that was Julie. Her name was Julie.
Yeah, and they they told me that a man by the name of Mickey Cantor, who was very good friends with President Clinton, had been seen in Richmond a number of times, and that they believed that he had they would talk to somebody at the Romanian embassy about the illegality of that adoption. And when I heard that, even though this woman had sold me out to the tabloids for, you know, $15,000, I thought, well, that explains why she's lying about me, why she's telling these lies about me. They've threatened her child. And so that was what the producers at 60 Minutes told me to get me on their show. And once I got on the show, and, you know, I talked about what happened to Julie. But then they asked me about what happened in the Oval Office. But at that point, they edited the whole interview, and they never said that, you know, there was nothing in there at all about the story of Julie's baby, you know, the adoption being threatened.
Right. Well, of course, but they am calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Kim, do you have a question?
Oh, hi, Dr. Monteith. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Yes, I have a question for Miss Willie. Back when Bill Clinton was president, I'm just curious to see how often Bush Sr. was visiting the White House, because I don't like to ask a question. Is it true that they're related somehow?
Now, who are you speaking of?
Bush Sr. when he was...
Bush Sr., you mean?
Is he related to the Clinton family as well?
Not related to, but they're very, very good friends with the Clinton family.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just trying to make sense of their sudden agreement on certain issues, where it's like they're very politically chummy now, and that just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, if you're, do you have any thought on that? Kim is just saying that she's a little offended that the Bush family, the Bush Sr., is such a good friend of Bill Clinton's. And supposedly George Bush is Republican and Bill Clinton is the Democrat, and yet they're such good friends. Kim says that just seems a little strange. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm not so sure that they're really good friends. I mean, you know, I guess ex-presidents, at least, you know, try to look like they all get along. I mean, Bill Clinton's one of the first ex-presidents who has come out and criticized, you know, George Bush. I mean, there's kind of an unwritten rule that former presidents don't criticize the sitting president, but that doesn't make any difference to Bill Clinton. But I don't think that they're really that good buddies. I just don't see how that could possibly be.
Well, Kim, the one thing I would mention is that it was about 2 years ago, and actually it was 2003, when the Bush Family Foundation, that's George Herbert Walker and certainly George W. and all the other Bushes, they have a foundation, and they actually gave their award of the year to the outstanding citizen, and they gave it, of course, to Ted Kennedy. So You wonder why the Republicans would give an award for integrity to a man like Ted Kennedy. Anyway, hey, thanks very much for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye,
it was a privilege to speak to both of you. God bless you both.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Vernon, who's calling from Salinas. Vernon, do you have a question or comment for our guest, Kathleen Willie?
Yes, I do. My question that I have is that during the time that she was with President Clinton, did she agree with everything that Linda Tripp, exposing Monica Lewinsky and all that other information, did she agree with that?
All right, fine. The question from Vernon is, did you agree with Linda Tripp's exposés on Monica Lewinsky?
Well, you know, the Clinton administration practically handed Monica to Linda on a silver platter. I mean, they sent her over to the Pentagon, you know, with Linda, which is the last place they could have sent her. But, you know, Linda was looking, she was out to get Bill Clinton, and she just had this opportunity just fall in her lap. I will say this about Linda, and as I said, we did not part friends, but you have to remember something. If you remember the famous talking points, that that Monica Lewinsky gave these talking points to Linda Tripp, and the subject was me, about how what was going to be said about me. And Monica Lewinsky said to Linda, look, the president's going to lie, I'm going to lie, and you're going to lie. And this is what you're going to say. Here are the talking points. Nobody has ever been able to figure out where the talking points came from. Monica has denied, said she doesn't know, or basically said she wrote them. But listen, that didn't have Monica's hand on it at all. But just remember, Linda Tripp was being told by the President of the United States to lie under oath. And that is not a good position in which to be.
I think, Vernon, if you read the book, you'll find out that there was a great deal of problems between Kathleen and Linda. And Linda had her own agenda. And she hated the Clintons, and she was going to get them. And now, not that what she said, you know, about Kathleen in large part was true, but she was trying to suggest that Kathleen was trying to have an affair with the president. She really demeaned Kathleen, and I don't think Kathleen ever quite forgave her for that. I would understand why she wouldn't. And then, of course, she wanted to use Monica Lewinsky to get the president. So Linda had her own agenda. That's the impression I get from reading Kathleen's book. Would that be a fair appraisal, Kathleen?
Yes, that's true.
All right, fine.
So that's what it sounded like to me. And another thing, Dr. Stan, I want to say God bless you. I'm glad that you're back on the radio. I'm glad that your surgery went okay. And
so am I, because you only have one heart. it's not like a kidney, you know, or an eye,
yeah,
or
that's
something.
That's right.
Like
that. That's all you get is the body you have. And the one thing that I want to say is that I believe in the words of Jesus when he says, you know what, trust no man. You can't trust the president. You can't trust no man. Put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in your vote. Don't put your faith in some guy who talks good on TV just to get your vote. Don't trust these people. These people have alternative agendas, and it's not the agenda of the American people. It is not. They, like you say all the time, Dr. Stan, there are demonic forces controlling these individuals, drawing them all into this one world unit. And we're alien to this world. We don't belong here. You know, we're God's children, and we're alien to this world. And the things that happen in front of our face, sometimes we ain't going to believe them, but, you know, if you put your trust in God, not into men, men will always show you their true intentions. God bless you, Dr. Stan. I'm so glad you're back on the radio. God bless your host. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Vernon. I appreciate your words of encouragement. And, well, we do have very, very real problems, and as you know, I believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being played on a political battlefield. But, of course, I think we still have to be involved, you know, here, and we have to try to bring the truth out. And I think that Kathleen Willey's story is a fascinating story. And it just brings back so many memories of the names that seem to fade into the background. Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce, who told Bill Clinton that, you know, he was being investigated. Brown was being investigated, and if he went down, he wasn't going down alone, and within a week he was dead with a bullet hole in his head. And of course, the pathologist who reported that, got into terrible trouble. And then, of course, is the story of Vince Foster. And of course, many of the things that happened to Kathleen happened to the people who knew the true story of Vince Foster. And they had the harassment, and they had the people coming up and trying to intimidate them. So they use these techniques, standard techniques, on a lot of people. And, of course, it was illegal, but then who are you going to report it to? What it involves, the President of the United States and his wife, who are actually suborning perjury and have the ability to hire people to do harassment, unlimited funds. Why, you know, Kathleen, well, I think she's very, very fortunate to still be alive, especially when you see that list of all the people who died under such mysterious circumstances, who had been affiliated in one way or another with the Clinton family. Well, Kathleen, we've only got a few minutes left. What is the message you would like to leave with our listeners, with the American people?
Well, you know, I hope that people will buy my book and read my story. I mean, it's an important story about what can happen to, you know, I'm just an ordinary American woman who got caught up in an extraordinary political event in this country, and I paid dearly for it. And I just think that information is power, and I hope that people will read this book before they vote and think long and hard about whether or not they want Hillary Clinton to be the next president of this country, because we're talking about very sinister, dangerous people. And I hope that telling my story will enlighten people in this country as to what the Clintons are capable of doing.
And I think that that's really what this story is about. That's why the story is important, because you get into the background of Hillary Clinton. This woman's running for the presidency. I mean, she is crude, she is rude, she is cruel, she's in, you know, and of course she's been involved in criminal activity of harassment of the women, of Bill's women, and believe me, there are a lot of them. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Kathleen, I certainly admire you for having the courage to write the book and get the information out, and I realize it puts you into a, well, it probably brings a lot of memories back again, but I do hope that, you know, putting this down in book form will help you perhaps to heal this terrible, it's a wound, this really the terrible mistreatment that you suffered at the hands of the President of the United States. Do you think it's been good for you to get this out?
I do. It's one of the reasons I wrote it. It was a good cathartic exercise for me to be able to just set the record straight.
And the other thing is, I think it's important to draw people's attention to the real Hillary. Certainly all we see on television, this smiling face and all those teeth, and she looks so great, and she's a very smart and intelligent individual. But I don't think what we're seeing on the television screen is the real Hillary Clinton. Do you?
No, that's not the real Hillary Clinton.
Did you ever run into Hillary when you were in the White House?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And what was your impression of her when you saw her?
She's a very angry, unhappy woman.
Well, I think that being married to Bill would make any woman...
unhappy, wouldn't it?
In fact, why would any woman with any pride have a president who, you know, have a husband who is having affairs with all sorts of other women? That just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. She's just, you know, been publicly humiliated by this man time and time again, and, you know...
But
I don't understand why she continues to do it. I don't think anybody does.
Well, but the thing is that she knew exactly what was going on. She knew about all these affairs. She had private investigators, you know, out to find out who the women were, but not, you know, not to confront Bill with this, but to keep these women from speaking out and discrediting the man she was married to. That's really what's so incredible about this. And it wasn't just in Washington, D.C. It was certainly back in Arkansas. And you read the stories of what happened there. And Bill was even more promiscuous in Arkansas than he was in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on for a really long time.
Amen to that. Well,
very, very, very long time.
And the man, I believe, is a psychopath. He was the president of the United States.
I think he's a sex addict, yes.
Kathleen, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. I really appreciate you being our guest here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, our guest has been Kathleen Willey. I hope you've enjoyed her book. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And all you have to remember is the title, it's Target, because Kathleen was the target of the president, of Hillary Clinton. And, of course, her story is so similar to those of many of the other people who, you know, without any intent on their part, were swept into a public notoriety, and at least she lived. An awful lot of them didn't. Men like Vince Foster, men like Ron Brown. He's in the men like McDougal, who had been Bill Clinton's partner in Whitewater and was willing to turn state's evidence. And he died in prison under very mysterious circumstances, and nobody ever bothered to look into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an evil world, and when you understand that, so much of what's going on begins to make sense. We hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it gives you an excellent overview of what's going on. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book, you can get the DVD, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book, the DVD, and an audio tape. We hope that you'll want to get the talk we've given called The Forbidden Secret, because it tells you the secret that's been around for 5,000 years, and there's a syllabus with that as well. We have a four-tape or four-CD set called The Secret Behind the Secret. What is the secret all about? Well, it's about the spiritual forces working behind the scenes that are influencing the course of human affairs. Let me suggest a couple of other DVDs we've produced. One of them is called The Emergence. It's the story of the coming world leader. It's a talk that that Constance Cumby gave at our conference a year ago. And then, of course, we have The Atlantis Connection. There has been an idea within esoteric circles for thousands of years that one day lost Atlantis would appear again. Supposedly this was the world that existed before the Great Flood. Now, whether Atlantis, as we've been told, really existed or not, we will never know, but the people involved in the secret societies believe in Atlantis, and they believe that America is the new Atlantis that will lead the world into the new world order and the new world religion. That's why the DVD, The Atlantis Connection, is so important. Then let me suggest the DVDs and excellent Christmas gifts, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone. Let me suggest the great new DVD that Alex Jones has put out. It's called The End Game. It gets into the Bilderbergers, this international group and their association with population control. Because there really is a population control agenda, and you better find out, because it affects you and your family. They want to eliminate most of the population of the world. If you've not seen my talk, None Dare Call It Genocide, you need to. If you've not actually seen my talk on planned population reduction, or simply on population control, that's a video, give us a call on number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to mention preparation for the possibility of some difficult times in the not-too-distant future. People say, well, we don't have to be prepared. And I would say, look, if you don't have to be prepared, if everything's in God's hands, why do you have health insurance? Why do you have life insurance? Yes, I do believe that God does rule in the affairs of men. And in the final analysis, we may very well have to be dependent upon Him, but we should do the best we can in the meantime. And so if you'd like to get an emergency food catalog, if you'd like to get the Berkey water filters or all the other things that you're going to need to look after yourself, if you've not got the DVD, the Sheltering in Place, or the book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, or potassium iodate to protect your family in case of a nuclear attack, give us a call. Our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.